How does a 21st century city adapt to changing times and conditions? How fast does it adapt? Have its leaders prepared for the unexpected? Are systems in place to keep its infrastructure strong in the face of floods, earthquakes, tsunamis? These are all components of resilience, and Honolulu is part of a worldwide 100 Resilient Cities program. Josh Stambro is the newly minted Chief Resilience Officer for the City and County of Honolulu, as well as the Executive Director for the Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency, and he's here to tell us how he plans to pursue his mandate. Hi, Josh. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks. Good morning.
That's a considerable mandate. It was a mouthful just describing it.
I know. My business card is kind of front and back. but, you know, it's actually all thanks to voters who read through all of those words last November and really decided that Hawaii and Oahu had to do something about addressing climate change. And so they voted by an almost 20-point margin to have an office dedicated to addressing climate change and sustainability and all those words that you just mentioned. So we're really honored to be able to try to honor their wish.
Well, how does Honolulu do on that scale, on that resilience scale?
Well, I think that's different for every city. So, you know, we're part of this really unique cohort of 100 cities that the Rockefeller Foundation selected from out of 1,200 applicants. So I think it's, you know, first we should just take a moment to have some pride here that they saw enough in Honolulu to, you know, bring the island of Oahu into this network of 100 cities. And it's Mumbai and Nairobi. And I mean, it's really an
This is worldwide.
It's worldwide. And they've chosen 100 cities across the globe to really pioneer this idea of resilience and really provide some technical support to those cities to kick the tires around what really makes, you know, populations more durable in the these challenges that we're facing in the 21st century. And if we can get that right in those 100 cities, then, you know, their model is to push that out to 10,000 cities over time with these chief resilience officers.
To get to resiliency, you have to understand your vulnerability, right?
Right. Yeah, so, you know, resilience, when we talk about resilience, it's really that capacity to survive, adapt, and grow in the face of change and uncertainty and shocks and stresses. So the way that the network thinks about it is there's stresses that sort of sap the energy of populations over time. And for us, you know, look, affordable housing is clearly up there. Sea level rise, you know, those types of long ongoing, it's kind of a longer term problem. But then there's stresses. And you mentioned some of them in the opening, you know, hurricane, you know, flooding. It could be a pandemic. It doesn't all have to be environmental. It could be, you know, a sudden influx of disease. But things that come and then they're gone. Like it could be a wildfire in the West, which is what they're experiencing now. So it's really those two different threats. How do cities become as strong as possible to ride them out and come back stronger? So that the idea is not do you just build back to what you had before, but that you incorporate the lessons from those pieces and then you actually build back to be more durable and strong after the fact.
As you describe that, Josh, I was thinking of the ways in which Honolulu is unique. And I once worked on an emergency plan for what to do in the event of a pandemic, and Hawaii and Honolulu in particular is at extreme risk in that event just because of the amount of people passing through. So potentially just given that one issue alone, potentially Honolulu could be a real disease vector for the world if a pandemic or a similar illness were to travel.
Sure. I mean, we face a lot of different challenges. And, you know, with climate change happening right now as we speak, you know, you've seen this with dengue fever. You've seen this with Zika, where the increased heat actually allows different diseases to come and you know, gain ground here in Hawaii. So we're going to be wrestling with that. What we're really trying to do in this, you know, as we've just launched, really, the office. And we've just launched the partnership with Rockefeller. And our first step is really to go out to people and say, you know, what is your perception? What do you feel like the city and the island of Oahu are most vulnerable to? And how are we doing on that? And then are we actually being active in the areas where we need to act? So we just put up a survey just this morning, actually, and sort of to kickstart this process of getting people's insights into what they think the office should be focused on. And Rockefeller is great. They give us, you know, a full the several months to really go out and talk to as many people as we can, decision makers, kids, elderly, everybody, as broad of a group as we can, to find out what the population wants to address, and then they can bring some resources for the office to help address it. So if people go to our Facebook page, Resilient Oahu Facebook page, there's a link to the survey, and we'd love to have everybody out there fill us in on what they want us to tackle, because the things that we choose, it's not a set program from Rockefeller. It's really, we select the stuff that we need to work on, where we see the pukas, where we see the weaknesses, and then we bring the resources to bear to try to work on those.
So it really is a time to weigh in.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the time. I mean, the office is, we've established ourselves, but in terms of what we do over the next year is we're going to adopt a resilience strategy. And that resilience strategy is going to cover the whole island, and it's going to point out, where we're strong, where we're weak, where we need to do some work, and then focus down, because we can't tackle everything. I mean, when you think about resilience, when you think about the impacts of climate change, they're so numerous. They stretch across a bunch of different sectors, a bunch of different projects. So, we're going to have to really hone in on those few key areas where we can get the most benefit for the island of Oahu, and really tap the experience of the other 99 cities that are facing similar issues and bring those lessons to bear here on the island. So we need people to tell us what those areas are, and this is their chance to do that.
With regard to climate change, Josh, according to some highly placed members of the federal government, ain't no such thing.
Yeah, well, the people of Oahu know much better. I mean, I think in some ways, we live closer to the land, I think, in Hawaii than in other places. And, Hokulea just came home after an epic, around the world Malama Honua voyage. They saw climate change in action all over the planet. They came back, and if you were, down at Ala Moana at Magic Island for that moment when they sailed back into the bay, chicken skin is sort of coming up right now just thinking about how proud it made us. And they saw it firsthand, and I know that, their legacy, the Malama Honua legacy, is going to be, how do we prepare our island? You look at Irma, you look at, Harvey, these things are happening in real time right now. Trade winds are down. We used to have many more trade wind days than we do now. Our rainfall is down.
Is that right?
I think folks, our rainfall is down about 18% over the last 30 years.
Really?
Climate change heats up the air. Mm-hmm. Clouds move a little higher because they have to form, where it's cooler. And our mountains aren't growing, so they pass us by. So I think people get it here. They know that something's afoot, something's changing, and they want to see action, and they want to see folks taking the sort of a longer-term plan to how we continue to maintain a quality of life here on the island.
Does it pose difficulties for a city government office in the climate of a federal government that doesn't get it?
Well, I think we realize that we just, we're going to take care of ourselves, and we're in a place where we're going to, if we have to go it alone, it's too important of an issue. And I think that's part of the reason why voters in November approved the office, is they saw, even before the last federal election, if we don't take care of business here at home, because it's a local issue, you can see the impacts are happening on the ground here. And so it impacts our, infrastructure. Take a drive over on the windward side along Kualoa and see, how the highway is faring with the king tides and the erosion over there. So we're going to be having to tweak our infrastructure. And it's not all a federal issue. I mean, this is a local issue that impacts every single one of us, and every single one of us is going to have to be part of the solution in our daily lives and through our jobs as we adapt and reorient.
Yeah, we're at this stage in a discussion where people say, what can I do? And you've already kind of indicated that what people can do is get with that survey that you're doing, right?
Well, for sure. I mean, I would love everybody to weigh in immediately on the survey to help give us guidance about what they think we should be doing. But it goes beyond that. I mean, we are in a time of transition. France, China, Scotland have all said they're going to ban internal combustion cars because they know the threat of climate change is so great. We've got a great, thanks to Mayor Caldwell and the administration, we've got a great new Bikki bike share system that I rode over here on today.
All right.
It's a fun way to get around, and these are the things you can incorporate into everyday your practices that help us all out.
Josh, we'll check in with you periodically just to see how it's going. Thanks very much for coming in this morning.
I appreciate you. Thanks.
Josh Stambro serves as Mayor Kirk Caldwell's cabinet as the Chief Resilience Officer for the City and County of Honolulu, as well as Executive Director for the Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency.